flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the exclusive sponsor of Grant & Danny, the law firm Cundori & Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you, and they'll get you a discount. kmlawyers.com, 24 hours from right now, 6 o'clock on this show tomorrow, the MLB trade deadline will hit. We will have full coverage for you on Grant and Danny. All of our baseball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still have the ability to save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Our buddy Ben Standig of The Athletic joins us now. Benjamin, training camp now about a week old. Pads on for the first time today. I guess let's start with your take on Jaden Daniels. It seems like everything coming out is very, very positive. What have you seen so far, and what do you actually care about that you are seeing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this is the moment where you got to factor in the rookie part of it, because I wouldn't say it's like been like a scintillating performance, but when the highs show up, certain throws down the field, you're like, oh, okay, I got it. But you know, there's still like a learning curve. You can see, which is fine, right? I mean, you know, everybody's expectations are very high, but you know, it's still progress. And not to mention, you know, the whole team is kind of a work in progress, because so much has changed across the board. But yeah, I think Jaden Daniels has been pretty good, and you know, we had him in with the media the other day, and you know, I think just the demeanor aspect of him is just going to be so key. He's obviously the big deal here. This is the guy that everybody wants to talk about, but he doesn't come across that way at all. He just seems very chill. He's not, you know, and this is what, you know, I'd heard months ago, even before they drafted him, that, you know, he's got a quiet confidence, but he's not some, you know, he doesn't have like a lot of like bravado, like he's trying to show he's the guy. And I think that goes a long way with these veteran players who, you know, they're all sizing him up as well. And we've heard nothing but, you know, great things about how they view him and the coaches view him. And I think that's been a huge deal. The rest of it, you know, again, it's, they are mixing and matching so much with what they're doing on offense. It's not like they're sticking with like one personnel group that maybe he's just like working with over and over again. I'm going to assume that's a reasonable thing on their part to, you know, because it's not just about one player. It's about the whole team, and they're trying to figure some things out. But, you know, I wouldn't say he's been in like a great rhythm here in camp. It's been some up and down moments, but again, the highs are pretty high. And, you know, he's young, he's learning, and, you know, not that I'm expecting anybody there to say anything remotely concerning, but there hasn't been anything you know, remotely concerning, even, you know, when he's had some off moments here and there. Again, it's, and I say that, I don't know what the play calls are, right? If there was one pass yesterday where it was clearly some kind of miscommunication, he threw the ball out right towards the sideline where we were standing and the receiver went another direction, and then you're like, what's going on? But, you know, that's going to happen. I just think he's learning, and I'm going to continue to factor that in into my comments and evaluation, even though, like I said, it's not like it's been, you know, like a can't miss performance, but he's a rookie, so it's okay.
Do you think he might do enough to eventually earn some first team reps?
he's gotten some, you know, the thing, like this really in his camp, but kind of the last couple of days in particular, you know, we talked so much the previous 4 years about position flex and all that stuff, but it's even more notable here because, and what I'm saying is that, like, the first team is not necessarily the first team, right? I mean, like, today, for example, the left guard was Michael Dieter, who's viewed as the backup center. Third-round pick Brandon Coleman was starting at one of the tackle spots with Lucas at the other one. I don't know that we think that's going to be the case. The receivers have bounced around. So, has he gone first in the quarterback reps? Sometimes, but it's been more Mariota overall in camp. But, he's still working with some of the starters. And, you know, by the same token, it's the same way with the defense. It's not like the defense, it's more so than the offense, but it's not like it's the standard 11 guys you might assume will be out there all the time. So, yeah, I mean, it is a little mixing and matching. I think we're all kind of, I've certainly been on the case of, I don't care what they say, I'm not going to buy the notion of competition. And I don't really think Dan Quinn's trying to sell it that hard. But they think this is the way to go to give, I don't know if it's more about giving Mariota some work with the ones, because you never know, or if it's just, hey, we don't want to just keep throwing Daniels out there with the quote-unquote first team, because then it means he's the starter. At some point, they'll say he is, but they're not ready to do it now. And like I said, they've really been mixing and matching far more than a lot of you remember with Rivera.
And God forbid we thought he was the starter. I mean, that would just
Can you imagine?
That would be terrible. Ben Standing of The Athletic joins us now. But joking aside, Mariota has gotten more reps with the first team, you would say?
He certainly did the first 3 days. I feel like it's been, I don't know about, I haven't counted a percent. I feel it's been a little more even. I thought Daniels yesterday seemed to be working, like he was getting the first reps in whatever the drill was more than he had been, and some of that again today as well. But yeah, it definitely hasn't been, you know, if you didn't know anything that was happening and you said based on what the reps, who's the starter, I mean, it does feel like Mariota has been out there more. But again, there's no chance that's going to happen.
Of course. But that's also why I think this whole thing is silly, and I would go as far as to say dumb. But a two-parter on that, just to kind of, that was part one of kind of this. I guess this first part doesn't matter at all, which is, if Rivera did this, what would we be saying? If he drafted Jaden Daniels too, which, by the way, he said he would have. I don't know if you saw that. And second, you know, so what would we be saying as a kind of a town, as a media group, if Rivera was doing it as opposed to Dan Quinn and he wears his hat backwards and all that? And second would be, are you surprised at all that Jaden Daniels isn't full Caleb Williams at this point? And maybe they don't name him the starter like they did at the Bears in minicamp, but that he's just not getting all the first team reps? Because I am actually surprised by that. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't care that much, but I am surprised.
Yeah, so, you know, the way I would say is, like, we're watching a television series and we're only about, you know, a quarter of the way through the first season. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know how it's going to end, but I'm giving this staff the benefit of the doubt. I mean, in general, you know, from Adam Peters on down, I pretty much liked most of everything that they have done since, you know, the changes were made back in January. So based on that, I'm like, all right, I don't know if I quite understand what is happening with what we're talking about here, with why not just have Daniels work with the ones, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because it seems like, you know, what they've done overall has been fine. Now, I don't know if this is a, you know, if it's Dan Quinn purely, if it's Cliff Kingsbury, how he wants to run things, somehow Peters is weighing in. So, yeah, it's a little confusing. And, you know, I don't know what you guys have said about this, but because you guys obviously listen to the press conferences, you know, Dan Quinn is really not telling us anything. We all made fun at various times of Ron Rivera, either revealing too much or saying something curious or whatever. But at least he said some things. That there have been very little so far. And this is, you know, similar to we didn't know a ton about the quarterback draft process until the very end. We didn't know too much about the coach search process until the end. So they have been this has been consistent with what they're doing. And so to that end, like, it's not like we've gotten great answers as to why some of the anything is really happening. We've asked, obviously, you know, what's the point? Why not just go with Jaden and call it a day? But, you know, they're saying, hey, we'll know when it's time, and it's, you know, we don't think it's time yet. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, it's not in my nature. I tend to be the cynic, but, you know, I think it's fair to allow that to happen. You know, kind of did the same thing with Rivera, and then you see over time, you know, the concerns and the flaws, et cetera. So, maybe this is one of them, but for now, I'm not seeing it. I mean, I will say this, like, when they get to play the Jets next week in the first joint practice, if Daniels isn't getting the majority of the first team reps, then, okay, we're like, wait, what's going on here, right? Because that's going to be the next step beyond just practicing against your own team, but facing somebody else completely different. That is where you'd want to maximize his opportunities for sure. So if we get to that point, we're still playing this game, then I think you can start having some more questions.
Ben Standing of The Athletic with us here on G&D. What do they have Ben Sinnott doing?
What do they have him doing? You know, he's got this versatility component to him. I don't know. We've seen a ton of him, like, lined up in the backfield, which I think is going to be something he'll do. I'm not saying necessarily as a lead blocker, but kind of at least setting up in that stance. Zach Ertz has been the tight end that has stood out the most. I thought particularly back in minicamp, he really showed a couple of things with his, surprising speed, and he's had some good catches here. I think Sinnott's been a little quieter, as has the whole tight end room. I think one of the things that's so weird is because they've mixed and matched so much, it's hard to get a feel for, like, what anybody is doing at any given time. Cause you're used to watching, okay, the first team is here, therefore I know which players are here and I have sort of an understanding of what I'm watching. But when everything is moved around so much and guys are working with any of the three teams, it's harder to kind of get a feel for where they're at. So I don't think he's stood out a ton so far, but I think he had to me at least, it seemed like he maybe was more involved in the spring. So, yeah, I wouldn't say go run around and draft him for your fantasy team or anything like that quite yet. But, you know, they obviously have high hopes for him as a versatile chess piece that they can use, you know, all across the offense.
Which rookies or rookie is standing out the most to you?
I really have liked watching Mike Sandersdale, the cornerback from Michigan. Not even as much because of the corner skills. I think because there's been some inconsistency in the passing game, I don't know if we've seen as much from the defensive backs as maybe I would like. Again, this is saying this when I don't have the benefit of watching film. You know, maybe you're seeing more on film than I'm watching it with the naked eye. But Sanders, still, like, they've used him as part of the punt returner and kick returner tryouts, as it were, with a bunch of other guys. And every time he touches the ball and then, like, moves upfield, plants his foot and cuts, you can see the electricity there. You can see that this guy was a former receiver. Or when people told me that when they went to J.J. McCarthy's pro day at Michigan, that Sandersdale, who was catching passes just because, was the best receiver on the field that day. And, you know, he didn't have a ton of returning experience in college. It is not going to surprise me at all if that's where they end up. Maybe they just stay with the conventional Jameis and Crowder and call it a day. But, like, I just feel like this guy, they got to figure out a way to get this guy the ball. And all the hype about, you know, that pound for pound, you know, Nick Saban said he was the best player. Like, I think you can kind of see that. Again, the main thing is the corner part. And I just don't know if I've from what I've seen, enough to say, hey, he's killing it, or hey, he's getting beat. But just in general, watching him out there on the field, I've been really, really impressed. I would also say Jordan McGee, the linebacker that they took, he stands out just because of his size and athleticism. He's pretty much the third linebacker. So I think he's going to have a pretty decent role. So I think those are a couple guys. I'm really excited, of course, to see Johnny Newton whenever he's available to get on the field, as Quinn said, it should be soon. I think those are the Sanders still in particular. I every time he touches the ball, I get excited about what might happen.
Same position group, Emmanuel Forbes. Prognosis for this year, what have we seen so far?
I don't know if you guys heard. He apparently put on 17 pounds.
Oh, we heard.
I still don't know what the starting point was.
Look noticeably bigger? Because I'm going to be out there tomorrow. I obviously haven't had the good fortune to be out there yet, but he does not in pictures. Like a lot of times when a guy gains that much weight, that's, I don't know, what's the percentage there? That's like
10% of your
10%
weight.
10% of his body. I feel like I would notice it. It doesn't seem that noticeable.
Yeah, as a guy who can gain weight, unfortunately, pretty easily, I don't see it. Look, I'm not saying that they're not telling us the truth, and Forbes himself said, yeah, but I need to know what it's from. I guess when we squint a little bit, maybe you can see some more muscle mass up top. The legs still look pretty thin to me. I think Forbes has been okay, and I don't say that negatively. I think he's been okay. Like I said, maybe it's just me, but I feel like I don't have as good of a read on the secondary as I would like to because of the sort of some of the ups and downs with the quarterback play, including and maybe mostly Mariota. I think what's so interesting with the cornerback room in general is like Forbes and St. Juste and Mike Davis and Sanders still feels like the top four. I don't necessarily know that that's going to make anybody sleep well at night based on what we've seen so far, but that's kind of the group. But then the group after that starts getting more interesting because you have just a bunch of random guys, including what's his name? Grant Kelly Blue Blue
Kelly Blue Book
Kelly Caillou Blue.
Yeah, that guy. They claimed him off waivers last year, beat out some other teams. He didn't really have a chance to do too much last year. But
Kelly off waivers from Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah. He's had a chance to make some plays. And again, when you're sort of like running with a third team, you're going up against Jeff Driscoll and Sam Hartman and lesser receivers. But he's kind of stood out. My larger point with him is not so much that I'm saying he's going to make the team, but they're going to have, I think, some interesting depth choices. That doesn't really necessarily help the starters, but I think Forbes has been okay. And again, considering what we saw last year, that's not a negative.
Caillou Blue Kelly, 23 years old, Las Vegas native, went to Bishop Gorman, the show quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. Where Tathan went.
That's right. Stanford product. It was a fifth round pick back in 2023. He's bounced around Ravens, Seahawks, Packers, now Commanders.
I want to ask you about the receiver spot, Ben. Obviously, we know Terry McLaurin, that's in Sharpie, good to go there. There's a whole bunch of other bodies and guys that we kind of gotten to know over the years that haven't really produced a lot, but the names are always ones we recognize that have stood out in training camp or even in the preseason. What are you seeing from that spot? It's pretty deep, but I don't know how many stars there are besides Terry.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what I just said about the corner room. There's interesting depth choices they're going to have to make. I would pencil Deami Brown in just based on what we've seen and sort of his usage. But obviously there's questions there, right? Because it just hasn't worked out so far. Jameson Crowder, is he your sixth receiver? He can be, and he had two of the better catches today, I thought. But he's an older guy. Is that what you want to use a roster spot for? I continue to stand for Bryson Tremaine, big, tall receiver out of Stanford who can help on special teams. This is a group that doesn't have a ton of size, but I think he could help. Luke McCaffrey, obviously the third-round pick. I thought he had better moments earlier in the spring than what I've seen so far, but that may be less him and just more – the way the ball hasn't found him as much. I will say that you know, you mentioned Terry. You didn't mention Jahan Dotson. I'm still waiting for Jahan to get going here. It's not quite happened yet. Again, you know, without knowing the play calls in practice, it's hard to know exactly what that means. But considering the year he had last year, I just, you know, was hoping he'd be a little bit flashier in camp. I haven't quite seen it yet with the naked eye. So, yeah, I think that's a room that's got a lot of questions for sure. I would also say Zacchaeus, one of the free agents they got, he has looked very quick. That's his deal, 5'8", speed guy. So I think he's been interesting. And to me, he would be the fourth receiver at this point with a chance to play a decent amount. But, yeah, I think there's definitely roster opportunities for some of these younger, unproven guys to step up because the room as a whole is not particularly strong.
Ben, last one for you here. And it's Ben Standing of The Athletic, who's been out at camp every single day getting you the latest on the Commanders. Ramiz Ahmed, place kicker. I saw that he was 3 for 5 from 50-plus the day that they brought all the team around him to kind of end the practice. I would have lost a lot of money assuming they weren't going to have two kickers at camp, especially when they just brought in a guy from the UFL after they cut Plan A, Brandon McManus. Are they signing another kicker? What are they waiting for? That seems really weird to me.
Yeah, I asked Quinn this the other day because, like you said, he's like, okay, because, like, you know, again, you can't compare what happened last year, but, you know, they had Joey Sly and they brought in Michael Badgley to at least the start of camp to give him some competition. So you would think, and look, a lot of teams have two, you know, multiple kickers in camp. I think that's kind of where the Commanders are a little bit stuck right now, that most of the credible kickers are somewhere else and they're having to wait. So I think, you know, the standard line is, of course, they're always looking to bring in competition at any position. But I think here they're kind of having to wait until either other teams start cutting some kicker from their camp that they like, or they, hey, you know, we get to preseason. It's not just making field goals at this stage. It's also the new kickoff rules and being able to show, you know, that you can handle where, you know, where the ball needs to be and all that. So, yeah, I would say don't go buy an Ahmed jersey at this point. But, if they don't bring somebody in before the first preseason game, I guess I would be a little surprised at this point. But maybe they're just going to wait and see until some, you know, some Joey Sly type guy gets cut from another team and they bring him in and move on.
Ben, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Guys, always appreciate it. See ya.
Go read Ben's work in The Athletic. Does an awesome job covering the Commanders. And appreciate him hopping on Grant and Danny. To the NFL, a couple of news and notes on the way out here. Patrick Mahomes was asked today about the quarterback contract explosion this week. Obviously, we saw Tua get paid late last week and then Jordan Love. So the narrative now is that Patrick Mahomes is dramatically underpaid. He's nowhere near getting annually per year what those guys make. And my point was, you don't sign the deal he signed if you're not willing to eventually be underpaid and maybe go the Tom Brady route, right? Here's what he had to say today. He says he is not underpaid. He does not plan on getting right back in line to get a new contract. He said it's awesome for the game of football. It's awesome for the quarterback position. But I think it's awesome for all positions. I know every time a contract comes up, everybody looks at my APY, average per year, and everything like that. I'm doing pretty well myself. For me, it's just about going out there, trying to win football games, trying to make money for my family at the end of the day. I feel like I'm doing a great job of that, end quote.
I agree with you, Mr. Mahomes. You are correct. You are doing a very good job at all those things. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If he wanted to, he could.
Well, of course. I mean, you're the best in the league.
Who's going to say no?
No. Unequivocally, he could get more money. But I just loved his answer. Someone asked him, you're not underpaid then. He said, I think we do a great job of managing my money to be able to pay me a lot of money and keep a good team around me. I know we've kind of restructured it a couple times and got the cash flow up in certain spots in certain years. It's about having a good dialogue, good communication with the front office, with ownership. We've done that here. Never forget, the guy with all the Super Bowl rings constantly was underpaid.
Yep.
In Tom Brady. He was not a let me get the top of the market money guy. He routinely took pay cuts. And sometimes, probably, he did so thinking that the Patriots were going to go pay someone and then they didn't.
But
it has worked out for the Chiefs, I'd say. And Mahomes, pretty
Indeed.
Obviously. We've talked a lot the last few days about hold-ins versus holdouts.
Uh-huh.
We had our first drama from a hold-in. Matthew Judon of the Patriots is trying to get a new deal. He's at camp, but he's not practicing. And he got into an animated conversation, kind of a shouting match type deal with Jerod Mayo, the head coach, and some executives. As he was on the sideline, it seemed like they were booting him off to go back in the building. I don't know what they said. My guess is, hey, man, if you're not practicing, you could just go somewhere else. And at that point, he decided to.
Yeah. I'm always amazed there isn't more resentment like that, especially from, you know, in a sport like football where it's about buy-in, it's about effort and energy, and these other guys are laying on the line and you're not. And, you know, it's one of those awkward things. I think players, by and large, understand, but at the same time, I could see, you know, somebody saying something snide or somebody getting annoyed by it or whatever. It's like, you're here, either get in or get out, man. I don't want people halfway, and I could see things like that happening. I'm surprised it hasn't happened more.
We do not have lineups yet, but we will give you a couple of notes ahead of Nationals baseball tonight, our starting lineups and pitching matchups presented by The Window Man. Since 1989, The Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free no-pressure in-home estimate at thewindowman.com or at their Fairfax showroom. It's late night Nats. We love it, Danny.
The pit's the worst. Every game should be at 4 p.m. Mitchell Parker's on the bump. He could use one of those nice outings. Hasn't had one in a minute, feels like, huh?
I will go as far as to say after the clunkers he's had back-to-back where he didn't get out of the first and then the bullpen was up in the first and he didn't get out of the second. If he is out of the game before the third tonight, it might be time to get him a little work at Rochester. And I know that's aggressive. He's been excellent. This has been a fun season for him and for the team, indoctrinating him, and it looks like he's a future piece in the rotation. But you can't kill the bullpen going an inning or two at a time every 5 days. So he really needs to have a good start.
Yeah, his last several, go back over his last seven games, 6.42 ERA, only 33 innings pitched in that time. So not even averaging five innings per, to your point, taxing the bullpen for a group that's already pretty tired and thinner than they were, minus Hunter Harvey, and maybe soon minus one or two other arms. He could use himself a nice outing. This Arizona team, pretty frisky. They handed it to the Nats 2 out of 3 back here a few weeks ago.
By the way, I need James Wood, who had four hits on Saturday night, and a triple yesterday to make it three in a row with hits. Let's do that lift the baseball extra base hit thing again, J-Dub. What do you say?
It'd be fun.
Five hits last couple games for the kid, just 21 years old, middle of the Nats lineup. Let's get you a Nats weather report. Even though they are at Chase Field in Arizona, where the roof will almost certainly be closed on a summer night. Game day weather presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/stormprep. I still want to know from show meteorologist Ryan Clary, as the boys get off the bus from the team hotel and walk in, what are they dealing with in Phoenix?
Well, I can tell you this right now. They're dealing with the sun. It is 108 degrees out right now, and it will probably be 108 by first pitch. But again, luckily they're indoors. It's beautiful, 72 degrees, no chance of rain.
Attaboy.
That's how you do it.
Ryan Clary, ladies and gentlemen. He's our Doug Kammerer. For Ryan and Darris, Grant and Danny saying so long. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Robert Mays of The Athletic is going to be at Commanders training camp, and we will have him on the show after his stop tomorrow, which I'm excited about. And Steve Weish of NFL Network was at Commanders camp today.
Yes.
He will be with us tomorrow on Grant and Danny as well. So some national perspective after they drop in to see the boys and get a little Jaden Daniels thought from them.
I always like that because they're not just here. They're everywhere, right? They see what the energy looks like at various places, and it was cool. I was watching Steve Weish talk about how engaged the fans were, how excited they were. That was a cool sight, by the way. When fans got to go, the line was around the block.
Barring catastrophe and another car battery situation, your boy will be at training camp tomorrow morning.
So here we go.
Also have some thoughts for you when I get back in studio tomorrow afternoon. So for the crew, I'm Grant saying so long. We'll be back at it at 2 till tomorrow, Vargas.
Thank you for coming.